Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959. You might recall just over a week ago, and for the large part of the year, we have been paying attention to the reality of what's unfolding in South Africa's ferrochrome industry. Government has recently launched interventions to implement a 25% tariff on chrome imports that come into the country. And that's really in response to the dire conditions that we're witnessing. There's been a number of ferrochrome smelters that have closed and shut down in South Africa. That further adding to the strain we see within one of the most critical areas of our economy, the mining sector, but also the ripple effects it has when it comes to job creation and just the loss of competitiveness that South Africa has in the ferrochrome industry when it comes to a global stage. To tell us more, we're joined by Nellis Bester, chairperson of the Ferro Alloy Producers Association. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Nellis. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Google, and to the listeners of Kaya FM, yes.
Great to have you with us. And as I highlighted in my introduction, we're well aware that the ferrochrome and ferroalloy industry has been experiencing some significant challenges, especially on the back of several furnaces being shut down. But I'm keen for you to contextualize it in your words for us as ordinary South Africans to understand. But what is the reality of what we see in the ferroalloy and ferrochrome environment in South Africa?
Sure, this is a sad story. You know, we have been the heartbeat of local beneficiation for many years. But since 2007, things have started to become quite difficult in South Africa. But especially, I would say, over the last 10 years, it has been extremely challenging operating smelters in South Africa. For the context of that, you know, we are sitting on all the ores we can imagine, all the chrome ore, all the manganese ore. And we have all the technology and the capacity, the people, the knowledge, everything to really do local beneficiation. But due to the uncontrolled price increases on Eskom tariffs on Megaflex, where these smelters are operating in, you know, if we just look since 2007, these tariffs has increased by 800%. Compared to a CPI, which only increased by 103%. So the fact of the matter is, today we are completely uncompetitive. We cannot compete against China. We cannot compete against the rest of the world because we are just simply outpriced in terms of power cost, you know. So that is the reality that we are facing today.
This is, I guess, an unfortunate consequence of years of just seeing inadequate power supply and, of course, the necessary support that an industry like yours does need. I'm keen, you know, as we reflect on, you know, where things went wrong and the reality of the various closures that we're seeing right now, has there been sufficient engagement between government, business institutions like your own, and even civil society and labor regarding these matters?
I can tell you the lobbying has been intense for especially the last 2 years, but for the last decade, you know, with every MYPD announcement that was made and approved by NERSA, all the associations has, you know, indicated their concerns about the affordability of this. And this year alone, you know, there has been several engagements, not only from FAPA, but from other associations as well at the highest level in government to find a solution to save this industry, you know, because, you know, it's not only the local beneficiation, the smelting industry, but it's the interdependence of our steel plants and stainless steel plants also on buying affordable raw materials in South Africa, which is ferrochrome, ferromanganese and silicon alloys.
And these are all important resources, right, for us who might not understand these technicalities. Essentially, the reason why the smelters exist is because from any resource you dig up from under the ground, putting it through fire at high temperatures essentially purifies it or separates the different metals from each other. And as a result, they can be used in other sectors. I'm hoping my explanation is correct there. But also just expand on the theme of the multiply effect that this typically has on the economy, especially when it comes to manufacturing, mining, construction, and so many other themes regarding industrialization. What risk do we run here of no longer witnessing that growth and the multiplier effect in our economy?
Yeah, that's a very important point. You know, I think reality check, today we export a lot of our ores, which is great for mining. It is beneficiated in China. It comes back as a finished product We buy it, we use it in our steel plants and our manufacturing industries, and that cost is lower than what we can produce it in South Africa ourselves with our own minerals. So surely there's a problem. Now, what is the cost effect? If our cost is unaffordable, steel plants is suffering. When steel plants and stainless steel plants are suffering, it means their cost becomes uncompetitive in South Africa. Now you have the ripple effect that now leads to importation of steel products from abroad, where they can produce it cheaper because of power pricing. And at the end of the day, like we saw now with the Trump tariffs and the European Union and China putting in tariffs on importation, you know, at the end of the day, it is the manufacturing sector. So if we just look at the stainless steel plant, for a stainless steel plant, it is being supplied by ferrosilicon, ferrochrome, and ferromanganese. That stainless steel is then used in the manufacture of motor vehicle parts and exhaust pipes, which today is standing. It's stopped because it's just unaffordable to do that. So the ripple effect is intense. You know, it is a multiplier of enormous quantity.
Mm. Nilis, how many smelters have closed down so far, for context?
Do you really want to know? This is shocking figures. You know, in 2022, we had 88 furnaces in South Africa for local beneficiation. Mm-hmm. As we speak today, there are 8 in operation. Oh. So 80 furnaces has closed down, which is either in hot care or maintenance or standing today, hoping to receive some good news on electrical power tariffs. You know, that needs to be announced by government to save this industry. So it's an amazing number of furnaces. It is 90% of the beneficiation sector is not in operation, probably since winter this year.
This sounds like the slow death of an industry.
We've predicted this. We've predicted the death spiral for 10 years. And unfortunately now, you know, we've hit the wall. I think everybody in the sector has been clear that we cannot go beyond 2025, you know, if there's no intervention coming on power pricing to be more competitive with the rest of the world. Again, context, South Africa today not operating in winter, in what hour we probably paying in the region of $110, $120 per megawatt hour. Our competition, which is the rest of the world, it includes the USA, Europe, China, Russia. We are competing against $20 to $40, $50 per megawatt hour. So we are 3-4 times outpriced in power pricing. So you just can't be competitive in this environment anymore.
The rain is disrupting our connectivity, but I do want to ask you one more question. And I guess this goes back to the lobbying, the conversations that happen. As you stated, you've predicted the slow death and decline of this particular industry, which comes at significant consequences for our economy. What I'm keen to understand from your part is that outside of the electricity tariffs and support that we can find, is there hope? And I ask this knowing very well that the likes of Glencore, Salmon Core have closed down their chrome operations. And big business typically needs long-term confidence and sustainability before they reallocate capital to a market where they've closed. So what does this mean for the reality of South Africa being a ferro alloy and ferro chrome player?
Well, the reality is really that, there is a plan. Can you hear me?
We've got you now loud and clear.
All right. Sorry, I had to jump to my phone. I've lost network here. So the reality is there is a plan on the table. Okay. There is an intervention plan that has been developed by government, and it's a matter of implementing this in order to revive the smelting industry. You know, we are sitting with the potential here. If we don't do anything about the power pricing in this year still, we are looking at 300,000 jobs that will get lost at the end of this year. Now, that is an amazing amount of employment. Now, the ripple effect, if that boils down to the steel industry, well, you will double that number by another 300,000 or 400,000 people. So in totality, you're probably talking about 1 million jobs, including the steel industry. So
it's a vital decision to take, you know, in order to save this industry. And the only way you can really do it is you will have to put down a competitive power pricing for this industry to be able to compete with the rest of the world on the same grounds with the minerals they buy in South Africa. We just need to be competitive in this country.
100%. Mr. Nelis Bester, it's been a delight speaking to you, sir. We will touch base with you again soon just to get an update in terms of the interventions that have been provided to see the sustainability of the ferrochrome industry. But I think you've really put things into perspective for many of us who would drive alongside many roads in Mpumalanga, in Limpopo, and would see the blue flame that would typically shine at the top of furnaces and chrome plants that we would drive plants past. We've seen that those flames have been turned out, and that really paints a scary picture for the reality of the chrome industry in South Africa. But thank you again for your refreshing and very honest and robust perspective, Nelis.
It's a great pleasure. Speak to you soon.
Thank you. Nelis Bester, chairperson of the Ferro Alloy Producers Association. Quick one, if you're wondering what the difference between alloys and chrome, well, essentially chrome is the metal itself, and alloys might be connected with iron and any other produce there. But essentially, the end result is that this is a critical resource that is used in the creation and manufacturing of stainless steel, machinery and infrastructure that ultimately finds its ways into buildings, bridges and towers that are essentially meant to be built for additional infrastructure purposes. As he's highlighted, we've seen a closure of at least 80 furnaces. That's about 90% of the capacity we have in South Africa. And beyond just thinking about these little operations shutting down, bear in mind that the kind of skills that are needed to actually beneficiate these particular resources within chrome, alloys, in the ferrochrome space, these are specialized skills. It's not just standing in front of a fire, turning up the heat, and anybody can do it. It's specialized. There's a lot of training. So there's also a unique set of skills that are being lost, almost isolated in the South African economy with no other avenue to be directed into. So the reality here is very significant. Share your thoughts with us, 063-688-0959, especially if you're someone who happens to be in the mining, manufacturing space, or even playing your own role in the ferrochrome industry. But stay with us. In a moment, we will be taking a look at the world of influencing. China has enforced strict rules on influencers, essentially saying, hey, before you talk about healthcare, education, finance and law, we want to double check that you actually have the necessary qualifications to comment on such a subject. We'll take a look at what lessons South Africans can learn in this particular regard from a regulatory point of view, but also the opportunities that are extended to agencies that partner and work with influencers to make sure that they do things the right way.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.